quite a number of years of being in the island, and the poor guy was kind of, you know, living with the sheep and sort of trying to live off the island. And the guy said to him, "How long have you been here?" And the guy looks at him and goes, "Bah." I mean, you'll talk to what's around you in the end, I suppose. Anyway, hallelujah. Just thought, anyway. What I would love is if we can have a Pastor Mike. Where is he? He's sitting somewhere. Would you like to, let me, Apostle Mike, would you like to come up, please? Hallelujah. If you want to just hold the offering up for us, let's just stand on our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, today we want to come into agreement in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to bring this offering and every offering that we've had over the last three nights of meetings. And Father, we want to bring them tonight by faith under the sea of glass. Father, we take them and we trade it to that. We trade the sowing of the lives of people, the symbol of the lives of people. Father, we take this tonight by faith and we sow it, Father, into the sea of glass in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you'd open up the window of heaven over every life that is sown. Father, I ask that the presence of the glory of God, Father, in the realm of heaven, an account would be opened up for them, Father, in the realm of heaven, that they would receive the blessing of God due to the account in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless the fruit that's in here tonight. Bless the fruit that has come in the last 2 days, Father, and we ask you to multiply it. Father, your kingdom would bear witness in heaven as it is upon the earth. We trade it tonight, Father, by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I understand that's the diamond basket. It's a little bit bigger than my one. Glory to God. The first time I ever saw a stone manifest, I got a friend by the name of Jeff Jansen. And he's got a big 50-carat ruby that an angel called Emma gave it to them in one of the meetings. It's about that size. And I need an anchor. And so I said to Jeff, "Hey, listen, can I hold your stone, dude?" And he said, "Yep, sure." So I spent an evening and a night with that stone. And so we had some meetings over the weekend, and I was sitting down next to my wife, and you know, there's sometimes weird things start to happen with me just because they do. And I kept on saying to my wife, "Man, can you feel the wind blowing?" And I was getting freaked out because I could feel wind. And she was going, No, except my shirt was doing this. And what was happening was wind was coming from inside of my skin, blowing my shirt from the inside out. And I was going, "Whoa, this is brilliant." She was looking at me going, "You're freaky." She always says, "You're freaky." And so, but my hands started to burn. And I was like, "God, what's this?" You know, and I said, "No," I got really uncomfortable. I didn't know that there were other people around the auditorium that were sitting over here. They were watching me because they knew something was going on. And my hand started to burn. And I'm busy looking at my hand like this. And I'm seeing in the spirit, and there's a stone in my skin, and I'm looking at this thing, and I said to my wife, "Look at this, man," and out of here, boom, this blinking stone comes out of my hand, and it falls on her lap, and she's like, "Freak me out." I'm like, "Freak me out, but yeah, but." And so, I mean, it was just, again, it was one of those things that was just, for me, was God just going, "Son, it's okay. I've got this in hand. This will happen sometimes. Don't worry about it. You do what you've got to do." And then I was in Jakarta some weeks ago, a couple of years ago, busy preaching, and I kept hearing this, and they have these kind of wooden floors, and then I'd see the kids kind of all get excited. I wasn't even thinking about gemstones, and they had these little diamonds, you know, red, yellow, and blue diamonds falling on the floor in one of the meetings, and I was just like, "Yeah." And I mean, I wanted one, but of course the kids got them all, and so I was like, "Rat." And so what happens, one of these kids, God spoke to this little girl, she's about 11, and she came up to me, "Brother Yen, God's told me to give you this," and she gives me this little pink diamond, and I had it with my collection of stones, and then somebody nicked it, which was really annoying. And then this happened about a year and a half ago now. And I was with my son. We're at my workplace, and my workplace has got a kind of carpet like this in my business. and my daughter just vacuumed all the floor for us. And I was working with my son, and I just come from spending about an hour and a half with Jason, and we were talking about the angels and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, and hallelujah, I agree. And so we that was good timing, Jesus. And so the Lord always tells me, pay attention to the small things on the way and you'll really enjoy yourself. And I love that kind of stuff. Hallelujah. I mean, imagine the, you know what, the possibility and the frequency of that to happen in the same time. You can't have enough noughts on the end of it. And anyway, and so we're inside this foyer area of my workplace, and I come out of my work, and I'm aware of the whole angelic arena going whoom around us like this. And I'm trying to get myself together because I've got to be logically positioning my staff around and try and sort of – but of course my son is aware of what's going on. He's looking at me and he's just smiling because he can see stuff. And my other daughter's at the reception desk here, and we shifted this light off the fish tank and put it on the floor. And then I turned around like this, and the whole spirit world went whoa, like this. And I looked at Josh, and my son looked at me, and my son goes, whoa. And I went, whoa, and looked down. And in the middle of us, there's this stone that would have been – probably about 8 or 9 carats, sitting on the floor, bright yellow stone, perfectly cut. I reached down, and Joshua was going, it was funny because Joshua is my son. He said to me, I couldn't bend down. It was just like I was looking at it going, whoa, and you bend down and you pick it up. I could have had that. And so, and then we're at the conference with Jason probably about last year, and the Lord said to me, give it away to his wife. So anyway, hallelujah. So I'm believing bigger, better. Hallelujah. And so anyway, so stones are good, but don't chase them. Chase God. Let's go into the Bible here. I want to talk and walk in Eden. I just think that it's one of the most amazing places. I had my greatest desire was to always try and spend time with the presence of God. And let's just read the scriptures out here. This is found in Genesis 2. It said, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in that he had rested from all his works which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And we've already discussed a bit of that in the meeting this afternoon. It says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there's no man to till the ground. Wait a minute. So God grew trees and every of the field and every herb of the field before they were in the earth. First issue. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him his nostrils, the breath of life, and became a living soul. And God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he formed, and of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food, tree of life in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted into four heads. The name of the first river is Pishon. The second name is Havilah. And the gold we got in the land is good. And the Bedlam and Onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. And each of those names is very important because they each mean different things. Pishon means a dispersive one. Gihon means a river of paradise or a stream. Hedekel means lightning. Or appearance of Ephrathah. Yeah. Hedekel means lightning or the appearance of lightning. And so what we have here is there's some really interesting little things going on here. The first one is this. God planted all the herbs of the field and all the trees of the field before they grew on the earth, because there's no man to till the ground and there was no water. And then, so we have a problem here, because here was my question. Where did God plant all the herbs and the trees and the fields before they were in the earth? It was a good question. And the second question is this. The Bible says God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So there's Eden, eastward in Eden, God puts a garden. So there's Eden and a garden. And then the Bible, just to confirm that, says that a river flowed through Eden to water the garden. And once it went into the garden, it then parted into four heads and watered the earth. So a little Sunday school theory of the Garden of Eden, no. It's a garden in Eden. Deaf and dumb devil, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Would you like me to go through that for you again? Okay. First issue. God caused all the herbs of the field and the trees to grow before they were in the earth. My question was, where did they grow? Then we have another issue. It's about the garden. So you have Eden, and then eastward in Eden, God puts another garden. And then we have a river that flows through Eden to water the garden. And from thence, it parts into four heads and waters the face of the earth. So let me just get this right. There's a garden called Eden, north, south, east, west. So eastward, in this garden called Eden, God plants another garden. And then there's a river, which is the river of the glory of God, flows through Eden to water the garden. So the function of the river is to water the garden. Right, and then when it goes into the garden, it parts into four heads and waters the earth. So you've got the glory of God flowing out around the surface of the earth. Hallelujah. It was just you might like to know this. If you take pure gold, one part pure gold, and put it in water, pure, not this rubbish you have in your finger here, pure gold. If you were to take one part pure gold and put it in water, it turns the water blood red. It's amazing, because the Hebrews know, and this is the way they understand their culture, that salvation only comes through a river running blood red. Now the Bible says that the river Hiddekel, the river Pison, the gold in that river was good gold, which means pure. So Pison ran blood red. Then you come all the way to Moses. And Moses coming down from a mountain. Hears all the children cavorting with Baal. Gets mad. Breaks the trading stone of fire from heaven. Burns with fire. To change gold from a mineral to a monatomic element, you've got to go to 5001 degrees Celsius. Moses burns with fire, changes the molecular structure, crushes the calf to powder, puts the gold, which is now pure, into the river, into the lake. The lake turns blood red. He made the children of Israel drink the water because they recognize that salvation only comes through a river running blood red. Come all the way to Moses. What was the first miracle Moses did? Put his rod in the river, and the river turned blood red. The children of Israel know that salvation only comes through a river running blood red. And so we now have an aorta which runs blood red, which comes out of the first chamber of your heart and runs into your brain to water this piece of earth. And so all the way through the Bible, you have these little things that I just find fascinating. And so we have this thing now. So my biggest question was to God, okay, the Bible says that how God came down to walk with Adam in the cool of the day. And then it talks about Satan, who had been in the garden of God, and then how God put Adam in the garden to tend Eden. And you have all these things about God's desire to have a garden. And for me, gardening is all about relationship. You know, you never wondered why kings used to have their little terrariums where they used to grow all these plants and stuff, so they could put off all their kingly garb, all their kingly stuff, and become normal men and get their fingers dirty. You know, what was that king that had his big garden that went insane? Nebuchadnezzar, Nebi baby, I should have remembered that. Good old Nebi baby, having a wonderful garden, and God says, man, you're going to become an animal. So he goes, moo, and bends down and starts eating the grass in his garden. And so you have these kind of things. You ever wondered why we've got parks? Do you realize it's statutory law? You have to have a park. Excuse me, where did that come from? Out of heaven. Because parks are supposed to be a place of rest, where you can unwind from the stress of the day. So here was my question one day. Father, why? Where did you go when you stood off the throne on that seventh day? When you took a rest from all your works in heaven, where did you go? Well, hallelujah, sister. Hey, you're not, I'm preaching. You see, God has the opportunity to put off the mandating power of his government to become and take on the form of a person so you can walk outside of the covering of the government, because he is the government, but he doesn't have to display it. My children understand protocol. When they were young and I was in my workplace, they could come up, daddy, 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 and give me a hug, and it's all great, but they wouldn't hang around me for hours and hours and hours because I was about my job. So the protocol was, for them, was that they could come and say hello to me, and I'd hug them and kiss them and say hi, and then I had to... That's cutting in and out. I had to carry on doing my work. And so what I found was that because as it is in heaven, so it is on the earth often bends to the type of heaven and takes on some form of image of heaven, and we do stuff without even really realizing why we're doing it, because we have a memory sitting in us what we knew before we came out of the realm of eternity. Get the tape from this afternoon. And so for me, I became very fascinated. I wanted to know about this garden thing. I wanted to know what this garden thing was like. I wanted to know how to walk there. I mean, what did God look like when he came off that throne? What was he like when he was in his garden? Because he said God came walking in the cool of the day, and also Adam heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day, which means that God was actually off his throne walking in Eden, because that's where Adam was. Yeah, hallelujah. And so it means that God's glory was all there, but here he had become something else because Adam knew him as a person, because it was in the garden that they developed relationship. You can't develop relationship when someone's sitting on a throne. Wrong time to develop relationship. They got to sleep on me because they got function. They got a role to play, and they're fulfilling their daily call and their duty and doing whatever they need to do. So when God's sitting on his throne, don't go and try and get intimate with him. It's not the place to get intimate. It's when God's sitting on his throne, where he can go, nice to see you. I've got a job to do. Really love you, but please go away. You know, God's a little bit like that. I don't know whether you've seen, but I've certainly experienced that. You know, when you're sucking your thumb for 50 years and God really gets tired of you sucking your thumb, he begins to discipline you a bit, so stop you sucking your thumb. Because there is protocol in heaven. But God's also a very loving Father, and he understands us and he appreciates us and wants us around his family. And you only learn about God when you're around the throne anyway, you know, about the government of God and the realm of the kingdom and the glory and the power and the majesty and the might and the angelic and all the other wonderful things that go on. That's where you learn, is around the throne. But then you sit in protocol when you're around the throne. It's not, oh, hi, Daddy, sit in your lap. Oh, you're just wonderful. Well, it's really good when you're a baby, but not when you're getting a bit older. And so So I kind of went through this process of thinking, I wonder, you know, I had these things in my brain, but I wonder what it would be like to be able to walk with God. I wonder what it would be like to see him in this kind of arena. I wonder what the garden was like. You know, I wonder what Eden was like. I mean, I wonder what it looked like. I wonder what was there. And so there was a number of things that I realized. The first thing was that there was a river. The Bible talks about a river. I don't know about you, but I love going next to natural rivers. I just, for some reason, I love them. We've got this amazing little waterfall that comes out at home. It's about a 3 miles an hour drive, and it's about a 100-foot drop of the stream of water that's about that wide. And it's a solid stream of water. It just comes out and goes into this pool that's about 2/3 of the size of this room. And you can stand from here, from the edge of, from here to the guy in the white shirt. I don't know what your name is, but stand from here to there. And the whole river goes. And you just sit there going, wow, it's amazing. And so I always love rivers. And so I made the choice one day, because I know that engaging a natural thing is very helpful to engage a kingdom thing. And so I made a choice one day to go next to, down by this thing in Hooker Falls there. And I thought, well, Lord, I don't know how to work all this, because I hadn't really experienced some of the stuff by then. But I knew that there was something God wanted to speak to me about. And so I got next to this river, and it was amazing, because when you sit next to a river, the river's got a sound in it. Like it's kind of like it whispers. It's kind of like it's almost like you can hear it going over the stones and the grass. And sometimes I've got my ear into the water, and I've just sat there trying to listen to the rolling of the stones and the movement of the water inside of it, and just trying to understand how what water does. I can remember sitting down next to this next to this river, and it was amazing, because I was meditating around the things of God, and gradually what began to happen was the river changed, and it was the river, but then it wasn't the river. There was something different, and my brain just wasn't clicking to what was going on, because I hadn't really engaged in some of this stuff yet. And I look at the river, and it kind of changed, and the noises changed, and it just became really different and really bright. And I was actually starting to get freaked out, thinking that this is weird, man, you know. And so I just kept on watching this thing, and I was there for about 20 minutes, half an hour, just looking at this river changing and moving. But I could feel there was something different in what I was seeing now than what I was seeing before. And I could hear something different in the river and the sound of the river than what there was there before. And so I'm still trying to figure all the stuff out. And so I sat there, and in the end, I just began to withdraw out of it and say, thank you, Jesus, because I could feel the presence of God around me. And it was just amazing. And so I then went to my father-in-law's farm. And the Bible talks about, yea, though I lay down. Sorry, how's it go? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's the one. And so they had this little river down by their valley, down where they farm rain. And one day the river flooded and pushed a whole lot of the sand up on the edge of the bank. And then about 2 months later, this amazing green grass started coming out through this flood area where the river had flooded this bank. And at that stage, the Lord was speaking to me again about the river, but about the green pastures and what's like to be by the river and all that stuff. And I thought, well, I've got to go and do something practical with this. So I went down by the river, and I laid on that green grass, and I started to engage the whole atmosphere, what was going on, thinking about lying down in the grass for the presence of God, and everything began to shift again. And I found that the grass suddenly wasn't the grass I was laying on before, because it was alive, and I could kind of feel it underneath me, and the river had changed sound, and the light had gone different, and I'm sitting there, and I'm now in this whole environment that was totally different than the one I'd done before, but I'd given that environment an anchor so I could retain the memory of what was going on with it. And again, it was one of those experiences, and so I have all these kind of things that were going on, and so I finally came back into my home, and I began to think, well, God, there's a river. There is a river that runs from your throne. And the Bible says, according to your word, that it breaks into four heads and it waters the earth. So actually, it's about the four chambers of my heart now. What was in the natural there now is in here, because out of me then that river flows. It doesn't just pour down on the face of the earth anymore. And so I started thinking, God, I wonder what that river's like. And so I was meditating around the river of God, and I started to hear and feel things begin to move around me. And I found myself standing next to was like this river that was running. But it wasn't quite like a river I'd ever seen before, because it was different. in the way it looked inside it, because inside the river there was all these stones that were like gemstones sitting in this river. And I mean, I was like, whoa, looking at the stuff. And then I can remember looking at the grass, and the grass was moving, and there were flowers in the grass, and the flowers were flipping looking at me. And I moved, and they moved with me, and they were looking at me like this. And I'm going, that's really weird, man. And I mean, I'm trying to, you gotta understand, my brain is trying to figure this stuff out. And then so I sat on the ground, and when I sat on the ground, I could feel the ground move underneath me, and there was a sound in the ground. There was a sound in the grass, and the grass was kind of moving like this. And it was a harmony of the realm of the presence of God and the kingdom, the sound of heaven that was moving the grass in harmony. And I'm just going, wow, this is amazing. And so I made a choice to stand up. And when I began to walk along this pathway, it began to kind of really develop into something totally different than what it was before. And so I walked along this pathway, and I could see this river, and I thought, well, I'll go and get in the river. And just, you know, so I made a choice to stand up, and I walked over this river, and I got into this river. And it was amazing. Like, I just stood it, and it was alive. This flipping water was alive. It's not. And what I realized, sorry, I'm never going to say that. And so I realized that it was actually going through me. It wasn't flowing around me. It was passing through me. Now I'm really freaked out. How does it do that? You know what I mean? You got to understand, I'm in the spirit, but my reference is all natural environment. And so I'm sitting there, and I see all these stones inside this river in here. And because I'd engaged some of the stones before, I knew what they were for. And you know how you have these thoughts when you're involved with the presence of God. I had this thought, why don't you sit in the water and go down underneath it? And so I went down underneath the water, and I was so fascinated that I forgot that I was still breathing. And I'm in the water, breathing in the water. And now I'm really freaked out because I'm a blinking fish. I mean, anyway, and so, I mean, there's just things that were fascinating me. And so when I went, it was kind of like it was shallow, but it was deep. And I finally got out of the water because I could hear in the water, I could hear the cry of God's call for me for intimacy and call for me for relationship. It was up the river. I could hear the sound coming down the river. And I got out of the river, and I began to walk along this pathway that kind of went up the side of the river. And again, everything was just so amazing. And then I could see this bridge that was sort of off there in the distance, but it was in the distance, but it kind of wasn't. And to look is to move towards it, is to be there. It's the only way I can describe moving in the spirit. And so I looked at this thing, and I thought, man, that's an amazing bridge, because I could see somebody standing on the bridge, but I didn't know who it was. And so when I looked, my desire engaged it, and so I moved towards the bridge. And I found myself standing at the foot of the bridge, and when I looked up, there was Jesus standing on that bridge looking at me. And I'm kind of going, my goodness, this is amazing. Lord, what's going on here? What's happening here? And the Lord said to me, we're bringing you into this place and whatever. And so it was the first time in my life that I'd ever felt Jesus reach in and remove every stain of anything I've ever done of my life. He said to me, no sin can enter the realm of the Father. And he reached in. He literally put his hands into me and just went, rip. And lifted everything, every record, every stain, every imprint, every memory of anything that ever had brokenness, destruction, or chaos in it, lifted it out of my life. And I felt clean. Like, I was just like, this is amazing. I'm clean. I'm, hallelujah, I'm clean. I'm clean. Like, I'm really, really clean. And it made me feel, it was a different sound in it. And the Lord kind of smiled at me, and I'm bawling, you know, all that kind of stuff that went on. And yet I could feel in the garden this cry and this yearning that was coming from the garden for me as a person. I was going, man, that's amazing, because I could feel the love that was in it. I knew it was God, but I'm used to trying, how do you figure this out, you know? And so I walked off that bridge, and the first time I was there, I didn't really retain much other than the pathway that was going down this thing. And I can remember allowing my heart to direct me towards that desire that was emanating out of the garden. And I can remember walking down this path, and the path was kind of like gold and silver, but it was alive, and it was really different because it had colors in it that I had no reference for. It had a sound in it that I had no reference for, and it was moving that I had no reference for. And in the grass on the side of it was really wet. I knew there's all this other stuff around here as well. But it was just like, this was all the revelation I could contain was what I was looking down here. And I can remember walking down, and I knew inside of me that there was a rose garden that I knew God was standing in pruning roses, and I knew I had to go and go next to him. Now, for a man, relationship is built shoulder to shoulder. For woman, often it's face to face. And so I kind of made this choice. Well, I'm just going to allow myself to go down there and allow the yearning in my heart to direct me into that place where God is doing what he's doing. And I hadn't seen the Lord before this. And so I had no preconceived ideas of anything. I kind of came and I could smell the fragrance of the roses that was there. I kind of came down this pathway and this bank, went down round the side and turned this corner, and there were these rose bushes, and there was this old man, young man, in this kind of white garment with a light cropped beard. It was white, but like diamonds. And he's printing roses. And I heard snip. And I watched this rose fall on the ground. Now, you got to understand, I'm thinking in worldly terms here. Rose is going to fall on the ground. It'll take hours and months for the rose petal to corrode and to get eaten by worms and then, you know, eventually become manure and then feed the plant again. Well, I watched this rose go on the ground, and it dispersed into the ground and became one with the ground. And then I saw this power go up the rose, and it formed a whole new flower that looked different than the first one that was sitting there. And I was like, whoa, look at that. That doesn't happen on earth. Now, I totally forgotten about God sitting there. Now, this is God. Excuse me. This is God. I'm sitting right next to you, and I'm going, whoa, it roses? And so I didn't know what else to do. Instead, I'm just standing there going, wow, this is amazing. It's really cool. And God just carried on doing what he was doing. And I was going, wow, man, that's amazing what you're doing here. And I felt him. And I'm going to say, I'm petrified to look at him because in case what happens if I die. Because it's a religious demon. If you see God, you're going to die. And so I'm petrified to look at God just in case I die. So I'm kind of going, trying to sneak a look and trying to not die because I just want to see what he's like. And so I'm just walking along the road. But I'm fascinated with these roses. I'm fascinated because these things come out with different flowers, all these colors and they're different shaped petals and different things. And there's big ones and small ones. And this rose kind of comes and looks at me and there's this fragrance goes, oh, I'm going to go, wow, it's pretty cool. I get drunk on this blinking smell coming out of this rose. Anyway, so it was all this stuff that went on. And I kind of knew that I had to leave. And I didn't want to leave. And one thing I learned about God is you never turn your back on him. And so I was still backing. So I was kind of backing off, keeping my eyes there, but just sort of trying to see, wanting to desperately look. You have no idea how desperately I want to look. But my religious demon was going, look at God, you're going to die. Because that's what I've been taught, you see. This is a lie. And so I kind of withdrew. And the moment I got out of the sight of the presence of God, I could begin to walk, and now I'm still really fascinated with the roses. Forget about everything else that's going on around me now. It's like, wow, this was amazing, and I walk past Jesus, see you later. Oh, that was amazing, and I can't find myself back inside my room, still sitting here, going, smelling that blinking rose in my room, going, man, that was amazing. And then so the next day I thought, I'm going to go back. And so I went back to the same place, drew down into the river, up down through there and going up the waterfall and going along this place, along this pathway and then over the bridge and Jesus taking the stuff out of me and going down through. See, except this time I'm now having, oh, wait a minute, there's some fruit trees there. And this blasted fruit tree is looking at me. And I'm going, that's really weird. How can the fruit tree look at me? And well, because it's alive. Everything's alive, not dead. Everything's here. As the power of God's inside of this. And so I'm logically trying to put all the things in this little box of mine, you see, because what I was seeing didn't fit in my little paradigm. And so I thought, well, the Bible says to taste and see that the Lord is good. I thought, I'll go and have a bite. And so I walked up to this orange tree and I pulled this orange off. Well, sort of like an orange. It was the only way I could describe it. It was an orange because it smelled like an orange. And I bit it. I didn't even think about taking the skin off. I bit it. It was the most amazing thing that I'd ever eaten and tasted in my whole life. It was like an orange. It was like an orange. It was like something else. It was like amazing. It was a living thing. It was alive. And it was, you know, when you bite something in this world here and you leave it, it rots. All right. And so I took one bite and I've taken a bite of it now. What do I do with it? So I kind of went to drop it and it just stayed in the middle of the air and it was looking at me and I'm going, freaked me out. What is that? And you know what it was saying? Taste me. eat me and see that the Lord is good. And I thought, my God, that's freaky stuff. And so I left it sitting in the middle there. And every time I went back, this bastard orange is going, eat me, taste me. It's like a seductive demon, you know, just like, but it's not a demon. It's just a living thing. And so my experiences in Eden with the presence of God became deeper and more intimate and more relational. And I learned about God's function in Eden. I learned that He's a dad that loves me, that actually has so much desire to be with me, that He set up a process and a protocol for me to come and get to know Him as a person off His throne in the place called Eden. Now, I love going there, and I find it very beneficial for me to go there at times for my own personal life. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to find yourself a nice comfortable position and to sit somewhere, and I'm going to begin to talk to you about what I do when I go and what I'm experiencing, what I'm seeing. When I've done this in the past with other people and other groups of people, if you find yourself having an encounter with the presence of God and my voice is pulling you in another direction, please stay and have your encounter with God. Don't try and follow me. What some people have done is they've followed me and they've had a great experience, but they were like, man, they come up to me after and say, I just wish you would have shut up so I could have enjoyed what God was doing with me there. So I said, well, why didn't you stay there? Well, you said me to follow you, so I kind of followed you. What I'm trying to do is to introduce you to a way that I've walked with the presence of God myself. Now, some people have said to me, this is suggestion. Well, the whole of the Bible is a suggestion. All you've got to do is engage the revelation of it, and I'm showing you how I've walked with God, which gives you a record of a testimony of what I've done personally with the presence of God. And if I've done it, then I know other people can do it. We did this once with a group of young people in my country, and this usually takes 15 minutes to 20 minutes to walk away there and walk away back. And when these guys came back, some of them had physical green grass inside their hand, where they've been lying out before the presence of God, just crying and worshiping the presence of God. They had green grass in their hands. I know this stuff's real. And so what we are going to do is I'm going to need to sit down somewhere, and I'm going to go walking, and I invite you to come and walk with me. And so don't get freaked out. Now, if nothing happens to you, praise the Lord. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy what God's doing in other people's lives or in your own life. If you've never done anything like this before, don't get freaked out about it. This isn't the occult world. Okay? I'm very much a Jesus lover. I love my Jesus, and I want to walk with His presence. And so it would be really good if you can just find yourself a comfortable position. Some of you might get sleepy and go to sleep. That's okay too. That's what the CD's there for. Hallelujah. Let me just grab myself a seat here. In fact, I'll use that one over there. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. One of the key things that empowers me to enter the realm of the presence of God is the blood of Christ. And knowing that the blood has empowered me to bring me to the point of righteousness and holiness, which gives me access into the realm of the presence of God. And it's through that blood that I come. It's not through my own efforts. It's through that blood. It's a blood that cleanses me. It's a blood that makes me whole. It's a blood that makes me righteous. Father, I want to thank You that You have made a way into the realm of Your kingdom. Father, thank You that there is a way for us to walk with Your presence. And according to Your word, Father, it says there that You caused a garden to grow. You grew all the herbs of the fields, and You made a place, Lord, where You would begin to fellowship with Adam. And Father, tonight I want to thank You that what was in Adam in that day has been given back to us in Christ. And that in the cool of the day, which is the beginning of the new day, which is evening, which is where we are now, it says that You came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, calling out Adam's name. And Father, I want to thank You that You're calling my name. You're calling me into relationship with Your presence. Father, I thank You that there is a river that flows from Your throne. According to Your word, Father, that river flows through Eden. waters the garden, which is my heart. And from there, it waters the face of the earth. Father, I thank you for the river of your presence. Thank you, Lord, that the river is a cry and a desperation inside your heart for friendship, for relationship, and for intimacy with us as your children. Father, today I make a choice to enter the realm of your presence by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I engage the realm of your presence today. And Lord, I make a choice to stand beside the river of life that flows within me as a great gushing river. Father, I hear the cry of your call for intimacy and relationship and friendship. And I turn my ear and I turn my heart towards that desire for you and with you today. It's coming out of your heart. It's coming out of your place in the realm of the throne. Father, I turn to the river you've given me, Father, with the grass, with the sand that moves and is alive, with all the stones and the gems that move on the sand and the grass that looks and smells and moves with the wind and the voice of your presence. And Father, I see the river that is amazing in its clarity, full of gold, full of diamonds, full of stones, full of absolute beauty. And Father, from the past when I've stood in that river, it's been amazing to feel it flow through me. Lord, today I just walk by faith into that river. I walk into the place where your voice and the river of your glory flows through my body, through my soul, through my spirit, washing me, cleansing me, speaking to my DNA, calling me into relationship and intimacy with your presence. Lord, I know that you're standing on the bridge way down there. But Father, this thing is fascinating to watch the river move with the voice of God, the scrolls of the fish that move inside the testimony of the water. Father, the trees that have cast forth their leaves that are for the healing of the nations. Father, thank you that these leaves are living things that move in the water like schools of fish. Father, today I choose to walk up the river to bury my head into it, just like Ezekiel did. Lord, to have it over the top of my head, to be able to be buried into the voice of God. Lord, I lean into the voice of your presence. I lean into the realm of your presence. Lord, I allow my desire to begin to turn towards your glory and towards your presence. Father, today I just walk up off the edge of the bank and I walk down beside the pathway. Lord, heading towards the bridge where I know you're standing. Jesus, I thank you that you are my Lord. I thank you that you died for me. You made a way for me to come to get to know the Father. You made a way to bring me back to this place of encounter with your Son, with your Father. Jesus, thank you that you are the Son. Thank you that you died to totally and absolutely redeem me from every mark, every record, every iniquity, every transgression, and every sin. Lord, today I open up my heart and I ask you to reach into my heart and remove the record of that enmity that has fought against you and fought against the Father's desire for my life. Jesus, I know that no sin, no record of sin can enter the realm of the Father. And Lord, willingly I yield to your administration and your hand to reach into me, to take out of me, Father, the record of the stain of my sin. Jesus, thank you that you are my burden bearer. Thank you, Lord, that you work with me and you walk with me, you talk with me, you work in me to deal with the stuff. Thank you, Lord, today I can stand totally and absolutely free because you paid the price to reach into me. Jesus, thank you that you've given me a new heart. Thank you, Jesus, you've given me a new record in my body, a new testimony of your presence. Jesus, I know that you're my brother, but I can hear the voice of the Father calling. I can hear him calling. Lord, I allow my heart to respond to your word and to your presence. Lord, I turn into the light of your glory, the countenance of your presence that shines over the places in Eden. I turn into that realm of the glory of God today. I give myself, Jesus, I give myself to the Father. I give myself over to the Father. I give myself, I give my desires, I give all my longings over to the Father. Lord, I just want to be with you today. I just want to hang with you and be around you and watch what you do. Lord, I know that I've met you by the rose garden, and today I just choose to walk along the path that leads down into that little valley by the rose garden. And Lord, I know you're there because I can hear you snipping the roses again. Father, to see you, to know that you're here, to know that I'm standing with you is an amazing thing. Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you never gave up on me. Thank you, Father, that even when I was yet in sin, you held on believing that this day would come when I can stand here with you, walking with you, and talking with you, Father. Lord, I thank you for the flowers that you've made, these most amazing things that appear out of nowhere, that out of the realm of who you are as a Father, you knit together your purpose, you knit together your designs, you knit them together intricately and wonderfully made. Father, thank you for your call in my life. Thank you, Lord, for who you've called me to be as a son. Thank you, Lord, that your one desire is for me to be with you in your garden, to spend time here, engaging your presence and being with you. Father, today I just turn to the realms that you've opened up here, Lord, down by the mountain of gold, down by the mountain of your glory where the eagles cry, where they welcome your presence into this place. Father, to the sand and the ground that's around us, to the grass, to the birds, to the sounds of the wind of God that's moving in the trees as the angels watch, Father. Father, thank you that it's a privilege to be able to stand here with you today. Lord, today I just receive, Lord, I thank you that you're my friend. I don't know how to build a relationship with you in this intimate way, Father, but I set my heart to want to become your friend. I want to know you, Father. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you do. I want to know why you do it and how you do it. Lord, I want to watch you do it. And Lord, what I see you do, I would choose to do also. Father, I thank you that in this place there's many, Lord, that have walked into the realm of your presence. And I know that you're calling to each one of them, Father. I ask, Lord, that you'd become their shepherd. Lord, you'd become their shepherd, that you would watch over them, Father, as a shepherd watches over the sheep. Father, you'd watch over them for each one. Father, I ask that you would encage them and encounter them, and let your love and let your glory, Father, flow over them. Lord, that they would be changed. Lord, that they would experience and understand the height and depth and breadth of their calling. Father, I thank you for the new things that you've made here in this garden. Lord, the new trees that you planted for me because of the things that I've walked in, the victories that we've walked together, the trees that have grown in record of the testimony of the things we've done. Father, thank you for those records. I see them in your garden, that they hold true to who you are, that you're a God that remembers the good things, the God that remembers the victories. And I choose that today, Father. I choose to see those things that you remember. Lord, I thank you that I can love you in this place and appreciate and honor a relationship with you here outside of your throne. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you for the new things, Father. Thank you for the new things. Thank you for the precious fragrances that you've generated and made here in the garden. Father, thank you for the fragrances that speak of your love for me. Thank you for the fragrances, Lord, that speak of the purifying, the cleansing of your beauty, your presence within and around my life. Thank you, Lord, that everything speaks of your wonder. Everything speaks of your glory. And Father, I appreciate and honor you today. I honor you, Lord. I bow down and I worship you today. As my Father, the seed that I carry is of you today. I ask you to reach into me, Father, and change the record of the seed. You change the record of my heart. You change my inner man, Father. You can change me. You translate me. And Father, you transform me to be able to carry a different record from the realm of your presence. Father, I thank you that this is a place I can come to again and again, and you never, ever, ever get bored with me. Thank you, Lord, that I can find friendship here. Thank you, Lord, that we can sit in the mountains and look over the beauty of your creation and the secret things that you've made. Father, I thank you for the realm that operates out of this atmosphere of your presence where we can creatively watch and see. Father, thank you that you're a God of creation. You're a God that just loves to make things. And I thank you for the new things you've made in this atmosphere, the place of your glory in the Eden, Father. Lord, today I need to go. Lord, I just want to thank you that I've been able to spend some time. Lord, just to spend some time with you in your presence again. Lord, to be able to walk with you. Just to be able to be next to you, Father. Lord, I want to thank you for that. Lord, as I back away, I allow my heart to yearn towards you. Allow my heart to turn towards you. Father, I love you. Father, I so value, I so appreciate you. I so value who you are and what you've become. Father, as I turn, as I back away from your presence, Lord, I will be back. I will come back in fellowship and speak with you tonight, Father. Lord, I want to thank you that you will wait and you wait for me. Forever waiting as a father yearning after his sons. Forever waiting for me to respond and come into the realm of your presence. Father, thank you that you've brought me here today. Lord, as I back away, I say, Lord, I'll be back tonight. I'll see you later on tonight, Father. Lord, as I back away from you today, Lord, I turn as I get around the corner. I turn and Jesus, I see you looking at me again with that knowing smile. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me to bring me back into a relationship with the Father. Thank you that you've brought me back to this place. Thank you, Jesus, you made it open for me to come back and fellowship with my Father here. Jesus, thank you. I so value and so appreciate what you've given to me. You've given me a gift of life. Now, thank you that you're restoring me back in a relationship with the Father. Lord, I thank you for what you've given me, for what you've taken from me, for what you've yielded out of my, what you've yielded out of my life as fruit. Lord, today I just bow down and I worship you, Jesus. I ask you to put your hand on my head and bless me as a son. Jesus, I thank you that you're my friend, that I've longed after you, I've sought after you, and I've come to know you as a friend. I've come to know you as my Lord. I come to truly know you as my Savior, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, as I back away today, Lord, I just turn into the river that carries the voice of the Father. I go into the river, Father, and I choose to lie in the river, to move down enveloped in the love of the Father, the tears of the expression of the joy of my God and my King woven in the river of glory. Father, as I float down the river, Father, I can hear your voice calling, I hear you wooing, Father, with a promise to meet, a promise to be back. And Father, to move my way down the river, Father, engage this realm of this atmosphere of the earth again. Father, come down the waterfall of your presence, to move out of the atmosphere of your glory in the realm of eternity. And Father, to fall down back into the face of the earth, into this realm, into this atmosphere. Father, I thank you that I've been able to walk with you today. Thank you, Lord, I've been able to see you and engage you. Lord, my desire is to become a friend of God. Lord, I ask that you would plant a tree in memory of what I've done here today. Lord, every time I come calling, you've planted a forest and a record of the memory of what we've done here, Father. I ask you to plant a new tree, Father, that when I come tonight, that I would see it as a memorial of my time with you here today. Father, thank you that you love me. I so value you. Jesus, I value you. Holy Spirit, I really appreciate what you've done in opening my heart and my eyes and my spirit man to engage the Father. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that you came willingly. When the Son ascended into the realm of the Father, you came willingly to engage me down here, to bring me into relationship with the Son and with the Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just ask that your grace would come over us here today as a group of people. Father, wherever these people are, Lord, I just ask that your kingdom and the realm of your presence would begin to draw them back to this place. Father, it's been awesome to meet with you. It's been awesome to be in the atmosphere of your presence. Awesome just to be around you and hang with the other people, Father, of your kingdom. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wherever you are, I just want you to begin to make choices, just to begin to withdraw quietly from where you are and whatever you're doing. One thing I've learned to do is never to hurry about backing out of the presence of God, but just to enjoy the kind of final touches, the final fragrances of just knowing, of being with the Father. I always just take my time backing out from His presence. Lord, I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for your love for me as a son. That, Lord, you did all this for me. And I so appreciate that today. I just so value it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you're kind of ready, it'd be really great if you just start to hook yourself back here. This is how I go to sleep at night. It's the kind of thing that I do at night time when I go to sleep. Instead of just lying down and going to sleep, I make choices to go into the realm of the kingdom. And when I'm there, I tell my body it's time to go to sleep. So that I'm fully engaged, fully cognizant, fully aware of everything that's happening during the night in the kingdom realm. Took a bit of practice, but again, it's practice. Does anybody want to share anything? Want to tell us what happened? Do we have another microphone? Don't have another radio mic, do we? Oh, we do. Praise the Lord. It'd be really good. So we can just have this on tape. Come and grab it.
When I was about 16, I had this encounter where God took me to this garden, and walking through the gates of the garden and passing through them and not understanding why I didn't have to open it, and there's this beautiful white country cottage in this garden, and never went inside the cottage but went around this garden looking at all these flowers and really just relating to what you said about the garden, the flowers looking at me really bright. I was just like, wow. I just went around to the back of this garden and there was Jesus stood there, and I knew he had a gift for me, and he just opened up his arms and I just hugged him. And then from there, he actually sent me out to go and move the location and da da da. And because of my teaching, I thought I couldn't go back there. And I went back there to this. And I went back in this. Because I didn't think I could go back. And I saw it, and it was all dilapidated and run down. And I was just like, this is not particularly happy. And he says, this is the garden of your heart, and you've not returned to it. And as I walked in, and he just said to me, breathe on it. And it just started to come back to life.
Hallelujah.
The whitewash and the cottage came back, and the flowers didn't return. There was just these empty beds laid that, and I know the stuff that me and my father can sow and grow there. And then I knew I had to go into the cottage, and I'd never been in before. And I found myself in this room of paneled wood, and it was a library. And here there was two chairs. There was one for me and one for the Lord, and this little table. And I just took a book off, and I started to flick through this book with the Lord, and it was Where I Am, and it was a map of my county, Cornwall. And then I started to flick through and of the places that he wants to go and send me and travel with him. And it was just, and I got to a point in the book, I'd seen three or four places, and he was just like, do you want to see more? I was like, no.
Yeah.
Because I'd seen too much, you know, and I just
Very
started
cool.
to withdraw from it.
Very cool. That's awesome. Hallelujah. One of the things that has been a massive deception of the body of Christ is that when we have visions, we're told that we can't go back. We're never told we can go back into them. Any vision or encounter you have is a window of opportunity that God wants you to go back and to develop that thing so it becomes part of your life. Hallelujah. Let's just take two more and then we need to finish. Praise the Lord. Don't rush forward. All other nothing's happened, or you're all stunned mullets. Thank you.
The only reason I'm saying this is because I'm beginning to learn that there's nothing too insignificant. And so just as we were finishing and I was walking back and away, I just saw the shadow of a tree, that was all, right in the middle, in the very middle, shadow of a tree.
Very cool. Hallelujah. Glory. Last one.
I had a dream that God gave me several months ago, at least, probably maybe very early this year, before the revival meetings started here. And I was in the river, and I only realized what that was when a former visiting speaker, Michael Bryant, kept on talking about the river. And in this river, it was amazing. I didn't see a garden like you did, but I was in this river, and I was floating around in this river on my back. And it was amazing because you couldn't sink. It was impossible to sink, even though you couldn't put your feet down. And I was just kind of lying on my back, just floating around. And I floated both ways, so this thing must have gone both ways somehow. And there was someone else with me, and I'm not sure who, but I was going around and around in this river. And I woke up after having this dream and felt really good. And I thought, wow, that was a dream from the Lord. And the amazing thing about this river was that it was both at the same time very exciting and invigorating, and also very calming and relaxing at the same time, and very, very peaceful, which sounds impossible, but somehow it was. And it was like a funfair ride. It was like I was surfing or on a roller coaster, and at the same time very, very peaceful. And there was this long journey to the river. There was this long walk. I was walking through the countryside to get there with someone was with me again. And it was very, very entertaining, very, very good. And then back again, this long walk, and it was the best day I'd ever had. It was the most entertaining day I've ever had. But the vividness of the dream really amazed me, and I thought, wow, you know, river of God.
Very good. Hallelujah. I would just recommend again that you practice some of this stuff. Whatever God has given you that empowers you to bring you into intimacy with His presence, and you need to use it. Whether it's emotions, whether it's images, whether it's relationships, whatever God has given you, use those as tools to engage the kingdom realm that then can release us into the realm of His presence. And for me, I had to make conscious choices with some of these things. I had to engage the natural world that would engage the supernatural kingdom to empower me to retain memory of what was going on. And I know God can do this for us. And it's God's pleasure to walk with man. As I said before, God's greatest pleasure is to come out of heaven to be down here with you. And so to understand that two-way street relationship, at times it requires us to go where he is so we can develop a relationship with him. Amen. I really want to thank your senior apostles of your house here for having me in your church and in your body of people here. It's always a risk of getting someone who's a little bit weird into, but it was amazing coming into family and there was somebody else as weird in the church as I was. So it's been very, very cool being here. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you all for coming. I thank you for your love and for your hospitality. I thank you for your sowing into us and buying stuff, which is always how kind of helps to run ministries and whatever we do around the face of the earth. I have no doubt that this is not just a one-time thing here with you folks, that I know that God's going to lay a planet for the future with us. And so there's things that God wants to do in your nation that I've got a key to into this nation here, and it's awesome to be here. So I want to thank you for doing that. For all the folks, for my sister, for my sharing and doing this stuff on the table for me. I mean, there's Mr. Soundman at the back. Hallelujah. I know all these things are just hard jobs to do. And often as a senior leader, when you first open up a church system, you end up doing everything. And it's awesome to see I'm still involved in doing everything, not just sitting at the front, but still involved in the basic day-to-day stuff of what's going on here. For some of you, in about 6 months' time, this will just be a memory. It'll just be something that happened, and it was a nice conference. For some of you, this is going to affect your life. You have the opportunity. All of us have the opportunity to really begin to change from this point onwards. And God's got a kingdom, and he wants to deliver us the kingdom. And I want to thank you for coming and make it possible for me to come. And without you, then I'd just be preaching to a guy who's already experiencing all that stuff, and that gets boring. Well, it doesn't really. It's really great talking about it because you go... So it's really good. So thank you very much. It's been great being with you here. Hallelujah.